Muy buenas noches a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat 8.
Good evening to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and through the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the internet in different countries. From North America to South America, over there in Africa, Spain, Sweden, Holland, Australia, and other countries. Today, Friday, February 9th of this year, 2024. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, over there where he is at, and to all the ministers and to all the brethren. For today we have the subject, The Kingdom of God is at Hand, preached on September 4th, 2015, in Santa Marta, Mexico. There he used the scripture of the Gospel according to Mark 1:14-15, where it tells us, "Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." And there he writes, in this Bible he writes, "Gospel of the kingdom." And in this other Bible, he drew a Star of David, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." And on this Bible, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on this one, he draws a cornerstone. The kingdom of God is at hand. You may please be seated. In the message, we speak what we know, preached on Monday, August 6, 2008, in Santa Marta, Colombia, our brother William tells us, "And now, we find that the order of the coming of the Son of Man, coming in His kingdom, that is to His church, was shown there on Mount Transfiguration. The two olive trees have to appear, Moses and Elijah, which are the two candlesticks, which are the two anointed ones. Those ministries must be seen being manifested, and Christ, the Son of Man, must be seen shining like the sun." And that is how then the Word comes to Israel. How does the Word come to Israel? Notice, in that manifestation of the Son of Man, that is of the two olive trees, Moses and Elijah. "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Of which there is a writing where our brother William tells us there. He says, in the four stages of the restoration of Israel, there are men, a leader, a man for each stage of that restoration. First stage, an earthquake, each bone coming together with the one that pertains to it. Second stage, equals he didn't write nothing. Third stage, equals he didn't write anything. Fourth stage, equals the entrance of the Holy Spirit into the body. The nation of Israel comes made flesh in a man. Notice how does the Spirit comes to Israel again? Made flesh in a man. He must come as the Son. Now notice, in his first coming, they wanted to crown him as king, but it was not the time yet. Now is the time when that promise is fulfilled, and when he will indeed be crowned as king. Page 158 in the Book of the Seals, it says, notice, "And when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords." notice how he is crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is in his claiming work. It is not in his work of redemption. 2,000 years ago, he was not crowned then. Back then, he came as Lamb. It is as the Lion of the tribe of Judah that the Holy Spirit would be incarnate. And there is where he would be crowned. He must come as the sun. That manifestation must be like that. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise." That is the coming of the Lord with healing in his wings. His wings, the ministries of the two olive trees of Moses and Elijah. And now, the Son of Man will come with his angels, and that means that the ministries of the two olive trees will be present at that time. Notice, those ministries have to be present. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. That is the promise. And he shall send his angels with a great voice of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. In other words, those ministries of the two olive trees will be operated by the Holy Spirit for the call of all the elect of those 144,000 Hebrews, which are 12,000 from each tribe. On page 7 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 54, it tells us, "Them 144,000 will stand yonder, and one of these says, some divine, holy, anointed prophet of God." Notice, it must be a prophet, the one who would be carrying out this work, will go over there with signs and wonders. Those Jews will say, "That's what I'm looking for." Yes, sir. And God will baptize 144,000 Jews, and the rapture will come. Because remember that on page, let's see which page is it, where it tells us. It is on the sixth seal.
359
in the Book of the Seals, that they are sealed, it says. But Jacob said, "I'm not going to leave you. You can't go. I'm going to stay right with you. See, I want things change here." That's that 144,000, the money-scheming bunch, and things like that. When they see the true, genuine thing to get a hold of, there stands Moses, and there stands Elijah. Amen. They'll wrestle with God until 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel are called out right there. That's just before the tribulation period, see? Oh, how wonderful. They, the preachers, them two prophets, they preach like John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, Israel. Repent what? Repent from your sin, your unbelief, and turn back to God. Now notice that this takes place before the great tribulation. Therefore, that prophet who God would send there is sent with the Holy Spirit in him. And that is how that Spirit returns back to the Hebrew people. I'm continue reading here in paragraph 54 on page 7. "The Gentile age will cease. The atomic bomb will explode and take the world. And the Gentile church will be raptured up to stand there in the presence of God." And he writes at the bottom, "The atomic bombs." And on top he writes, Revelation 11:3, 7:2, 14 verse 1. And he writes, "A prophet." And he writes, "The Gentile age closed. Moses and Elijah and the 144,000 and the rapture will come." When will the rapture come? When those ministries of Moses and Elijah seal those 144,000. Then the rapture can take place, because that happens before the great tribulation begins. And our brother William continues saying, and now the angel of the covenant is Christ in his heavenly body, who is the Holy Spirit. He comes from age to age, operating the ministry pertaining to each age, and calling the elect of each age. On page 41, in the book of quotations, paragraph 333, which is an excerpt from page 30 in the book of the ages, notice he says, now when is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentiles, and there he writes, the dispensation of grace, is finished. When the day of the Gentile is finished, the gospel, and he writes, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel is ready to go to the Jews. Oh, if I could just foretell you a little something that's fixing to happen right here, see? Right in this day. You see? It's fixing to happen. We get it in the church ages. And this great thing is fixing to happen. We'll carry over to Revelation 11. That is Revelation 11. And pick up those two prophets, Elijah and Moses, returning back again for the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is setting in order. Just ready. This Gentile message, as the Jews brought it to the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews again, and the rapture will come. And he writes there, the Gentiles, Moses and Elijah, take the message to the Jews, and the rapture will come. And here on paragraph, on top of 333, the one we were reading, he writes, the Gentile day equals the dispensation of grace. Moses and Elijah, Revelation 7, 2, 11, 3 to 7, and 14, verse 1. Our brother William continues saying, at the end time comes Christ, the angel of the covenant, calling and gathering together the elect of his church of the eternal age, the age of the cornerstone. And then he will call and gather the elect of the Hebrew people. Now remember that those ministries come gathering together. In other words, they come bringing that harvest, carrying out that harvest of those who belong to the age of the cornerstone. And then, when he already has them there in the upper room in the age of the cornerstone, because first, there is a work in the midst of his church, because she is about to be raptured. He says, and he will gather the elect of the Hebrew people. In other words, and then he will call and gather the elect of the Hebrew people. The Son of Man will come with his angels. The Reverend William Branham says that when it speaks of the Son of Man, it means a prophet. In other words, it is speaking of the manifestation of God, of the angel of the covenant in a man, in a prophet. In other words, the Holy Spirit, Christ, manifesting himself through a man, because Son of Man is a prophet. And therefore, in that prophet, the ministry of Moses, the ministry of Elijah, and the ministry of Jesus will then be operated, because the only one who operates ministries is the Holy Spirit, which is the angel of the covenant, Christ in his heavenly body. And therefore, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to the whole world. And on page 135 in the book of quotations, paragraph 1206, it tells us, on this paragraph, it says, it begins this, the third pool, and is speaking the word it seemed entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored. How? Notice, by speaking the word. Placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection, the Son of Man. This is so, or is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon, would you not? Escape all these things. It's got a ditto there. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Now, my dear friend, stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Now, my dear friend, see? Now, I think here that you got a good statement. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so, you said, Brother Branham. In other words, here's what I don't think that it, I can't. I believe I, not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to the people, see? You are believing because of the spoken words and things like that that he said about. And all of you here witnessed the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? And on top there, he writes, the third pull equals speaking the word above the paragraph before turning the page. And he writes, being restored for the rapture in the resurrection. And below where we stopped there, I never asked, Lord, let me do this. Speak these things in like that. Do these things there. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, come to me and said, you go do this. And there he draws a Star of David. And above he writes, created squirrels. And on page 135, there below, there he writes, squirrels created by the word, the spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone. And there he writes, in a study, they also place that paragraph for him, and in a study he writes, make it clearer to the people. Now, our brother William continues saying here, under the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, people are not given the opportunity to receive Christ as their only and sufficient Savior. It is under the preaching of the gospel of the grace. Notice, it is under the preaching of the gospel of the grace when opportunity is given for the people to receive Christ as Savior. Therefore, by no longer giving the opportunity for them to receive Christ as Savior, notice, remember that these are all stages of the third pull. And it is under the preaching of the gospel of the grace when that opportunity was given to receive Christ as Savior in order to thus obtain the new birth and be prepared for the rapture, to receive the rapture in faith. Therefore, under the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, people are not given the opportunity for that purpose of receiving Christ as Savior for the rapture. Now, notice, because under the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is where the preaching of the divine judgment comes. Notice on page 22. Paragraph paragraph 181, it says, "It was the waters of judgment that destroyed the unbeliever, and it was the same waters that packed Noah to safety." And it's the gospel message, and he writes, of the kingdom that will destroy the unbeliever. They'll take the church in the rapture before the judgment ever strikes. And below there he writes, Revelation 7:2, 11:3-7, 14 verse 1 and 9 verse 4. And above he writes, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel message of judgment. The same message, notice, the same message that will destroy the unbeliever is the one that will take the church in the rapture. Now he continues saying, "And now, the kingdom of God, and therefore the Son of Man coming in his kingdom with his angels, is appointed for the last day. It is for the last day when these things will be spoken in a clear way, opening these mysteries to the church and then to the Hebrew people. But first is the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, it will be spoken clearly, he says there, which is what God is showing us at this time. In other words, he is speaking to us clearly. Now, in a writing right here in the book of quotations, on the backside in the area of the notes, where he says, "The evidence of the Holy Spirit is when you can receive the word. You have a clear understanding." And there, above, on that phrase, he writes, "You shall know them by their fruit," equals by his teachings, by the word for the time. The evidence of the Spirit, and above he writes, the theophany, there on the part of the Spirit. Now notice, our brother William continues saying here, "And now, by us living in a time where from one moment to another the dispensation of the grace will be closed, while our brother William was with us, in which dispensation were we living in?" In the dispensation of grace. Remember that we were in a dispensational interlace, but the preaching was being carried out, and the opportunity was given for people to receive Christ in his first coming, to receive salvation and receive him as their only and sufficient Savior. And here he tells us, remember, this is a message from 2008, and he's telling us that soon, at any moment, the dispensation of grace will be closed. We have to be talking about the things that pertain to this time, to this interlace, the things that pertain to the end of the dispensation of grace, where Christ says, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send his angels." In other words, every time there is a change of dispensation, that next messenger must appear at the end of that dispensation. Now notice, on page 98, and he then continues with the scepter in that new dispensation. God, through that instrument, working in the midst of the people, bringing the blessings contained in that dispensation. Page 98, paragraph 848, it says, "When God was dealing with the Jews, there wasn't any Gentile prophets come. When God is dealing with the Gentiles, there is no Jewish prophets. When God turns back to the Jews, there'll be no Gentile prophets." See? See what I mean? All right. After the rapture has taken place, and there he draws a cornerstone. Now, there'll be a carryover time. Of course, one message carrying to the other one. And there on the side upward, he writes, the one of grace to the one of the kingdom. It has to come writing like this, you see, as I explained that, see, like Paul to the Gentiles and so forth. And he writes, Peter equals Elijah, Paul equals Moses. As Peter and Paul brought the message to the Gentiles, Moses and Elijah will take it back to the Hebrew people. And he says that the rapture will take place. And above that paragraph he writes, as Paul to the Gentiles, Moses and Elijah. He writes, spare time. Now, he keeps on saying, see, that's why we have to be speaking about the angels of the Son of Man, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, whom will be sent with a great voice of the trumpet. In other words, the message of the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the great voice of the trumpet, because that is the voice of God, the voice of Christ, to call and gather together his elect of the last day. Same message on page 113, on this book of quotations, paragraph 993, it says, and as the Father sent him to preach to the living, to those who had hope, and then present the same message to those who had no hope, it seems too fitting at this time that that will have to be done, because the Spirit of Christ living in us does not change the nature of Him, or doesn't change God's system. He must be the same in every generation. He must be the same, said, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. The ministries must be the same. And there he writes, Revelation 7:2-5, 11:3-6, 14:1. And above here on that same paragraph, but beginning the paragraph 993, he writes, the same message to those who had hope and those who did not have hope. Today, it will be the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, that's the message of the dispensation of the kingdom. It will save some and will condemn others. Our brother William continues saying, we have to be speaking about those things. Why? Because those are the things that will be happening at this time. And since He makes them known to us, we have to talk about those things that we know, because He has made them known. Remember that He is bringing us the good tidings, the knowledge of the things that will come to pass. Just as the Archangel Gabriel back then was telling Mary what was going to happen. Now he goes on to say, and now, after the seventh age, many people lost sight of the pillar of fire, but it's because it left. It went up to the age of the cornerstone, and then the Reverend William Branham saw the pillar of fire which rested upon a little room that was in a giant tent cathedral. And the pillar of fire was working there, where sick people went in with physical problems in their physical body, and they came out well. It was the pillar of fire at work, Christ, the angel of the covenant. And He does nothing except through the human being. See, I believe that yesterday also, last night, in the words that we were speaking, there we saw that the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, the prophets. And He says there, He will do nothing. In other words, nothing means nothing. He must always work through His instrument, He says. He does nothing except through the human being. Therefore, the third pull, well, God has to be working through human flesh Page 26, paragraph 218 says, and so we tonight want to think on that and remember that in the midst of all this cry, God cannot send a revival till He's got men in shape to take it. And before we can have this revival, God has to call out and train men. God trained men to carry this message. And he writes, a man for a revival. And he drew a little cornerstone there. And further down, also in the middle of the paragraph on the left side, he also drawn a cornerstone and part of the ages. Now, he continues saying, therefore, he has someone there. Now, if Brother William is saying, as all the prophets have spoken, like Amos, which is the scripture we read, and there he tells us that the Lord will do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, His prophets. Amos 3:7. And there he's saying, therefore, he has someone there. Well, that person has to understand that just as God worked in each age and in each dispensation through a messenger, at the end of time, in the fulfillment of what was shown to the Reverend William Branham, which would be the fulfillment of that vision shown to him, where the people would be receiving the rapture in faith, well, he must have an instrument in the midst of his church to fulfill that promise. And here, like in so many occasions, he shows us that he has an instrument there working, because the pillar of fire needs an instrument. And here, he is telling us that in that place, the pillar of fire was working in the midst of his church through someone. It cannot be someone who has already departed, because God cannot stray away from the scripture, from what he has already done in past times. As he worked in past times, he works in each time and also in this time. Therefore, all those who have left, they are all as spectators. We here are the actors of the third pool, of the tenth vision. Those who have departed already, they become spectators, because that is what the angel and Brother Branham were seeing from the sixth dimension looking toward here. Brother Branham was not working there. He says, the miracles were happening, and Brother Branham had not come down yet. He wrote it in the book of quotation in a portion. The miracles were taking place, and Brother Branham had not come down there, because it was another instrument. Notice, everything is simple. But since it is veiled to the one that God doesn't want to show it to, because He's not predestinated for that, well, one can speak to Him as clear as water, and He will not see it, because the veil is put on Him. And what is the veil? The instrument. Therefore, they stumble with the veil. Therefore, He has someone there. And the Reverend William Branham saw that all this was happening, and he was told that the third pool would take place there, that that would be the third pool. Therefore, we work toward the appearance of that place where the third pool is promised to be manifested in all of its fullness. And we know that it would be in a language unknown to the seventh angel messenger. Therefore, it would not be English. English is ruled out. And it has to be from the West, Because Elijah said, will there be another revival? Now, look. He says, there will be another revival. Therefore, another age must come forth. And as we read back then, that God had to send a man for that revival. Page 26, paragraph 218. Therefore, another age must come forth. So, it has to be an eternal age. Another time will come. Another revival, he says, from the West. Therefore, it has to be from the West, from the American continent. It can no longer be from North America. What is left is Latin America and the Caribbean. A rider will come from the West. We see that on page 166, paragraph 1485. Now, there I was getting pretty old, and I thought, will there be another revival? I'll see another time. And just remember, from the West will come a white horse rider. We'll ride this trail again. That's right. Soon as we get ready. It's a promise, you see. And there are the writings that he made there, which everyone already has them. And also here, notice on 1495. Let us see here. 1496, on page 168, it says, why, me an old man, suffered all my life, why did he heal me now? I believe I'll ride this trail again. I got to bring a message. Again, he writes, 50 lacha. Anyone can read that and says, well, he's coming back again. And since they do not have prophetic insight, they can't see that it is the Holy Spirit, which was operating there, the ministry of Elijah in its fourth manifestation, which he spoke and said it through human lips, because he needs a mouth to speak. And back then, he's telling the church that he was going to ride that trail again. And he writes, 50 Laja, bring a message, year of Jubilee. And I say to my father, tonight, as Junior seen in a dream the other night of the wings of this dove, moving in these windows here, Lord, your servants, reporting for service. And he writes, a new message will come. Equals year of Jubilee, the gospel of the kingdom. And he also writes a dispensational message. And above he writes there, 50 Laja, the gospel of the kingdom, I will ride this trail again. I have to bring a message of the year of Jubilee. He continues saying, and now Elijah says that a rider will come. The other rider is Moses. Will ride this trail once more. Elijah travels the ministerial trail with Moses, which is what he tells us there on page 57, on the book of quotations, paragraph 494, where it says, the spirit of Elijah, and he writes 50 Elijah, off of this Gentile church, will just continue right on into that Jewish church. Go right on in and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. And he writes, year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25, that they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It will be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And above he writes, Moses and Elijah. And a cornerstone with the ages below, with an arrow going up. And he writes on the left, the Jewish age equals dispensation of the kingdom and age of the cornerstone. He also writes there the Gentile age. Now he continues saying, notice, where was Moses raised? To the west of Israel. He was raised there in Egypt. In other words, southwest, we would say. A little bit to the south. And the Reverend William Branham says, we'll ride this trail, in other words, the ministry, ministerial path, again. In other words, once more. And the quote we read recently, I believe on Sunday, which is on page 103, paragraph 893, notice where it says there, then there is a persecution coming upon all those who won't unite with it, and a boycott. It will be too late then. You've already took the mark. Don't say, I'll do it then. You better do it now. Rameses, and he writes 666, Rameses was growing. But remember, while Rameses was growing into power in Egypt, God had Moses in the wilderness. He was growing too. Rameses, and again he writes 666, had a political system. God had a spiritual system under a prophet ready to come down to speak to the people. They're both growing again. It'll be a showdown one of these days. And he writes 10th Cathedral. The time ain't far off. Though he had already prophesied, and it proved that he was right, but yet he was in the school of wilderness, hid away from the rest of the world. But he was schooled, being trained out in the wilderness. Because God trains the man to bring his message, what we read back then. And there he writes, Moses being trained in school in the wilderness, herding sheep. He was a shepherd. The wilderness equals the Caribbean. And above he writes, Moses equals, and he also writes, the persecution, the boycott. Our brother William continues saying, and the one who operates ministries is the Holy Spirit, Christ the Angel of the Covenant. Therefore, Christ the Angel of the Covenant will be operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah at the last day. All this will have its peak part in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Therefore, there will be a people and a messenger who will be working for that tenth cathedral to be built. On page 115 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1019, it tells us, is a uniting time of God and His bride too. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. I believe she is sealed in the kingdom of God. I believe the mechanics is there. They're waiting for the dynamics that'll take her off the earth into glory in the rapture. Where does it say that? If someone were to enter fully into the message, he says, he would be sent to eternity without knowing it, that is, to the rapture. And notice what it says here. The dynamic of this church will be the refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure. Now, when he showed those five manifestations of the power of God, notice, he was showing there, with those five manifestations, God through the Reverend William Branham, what would take place in the midst of his church in the dispensation of the kingdom in the age of the cornerstone, in his absolute power, where he covers every area, even though there were more manifestations of the power of God through him. But those were the five most outstanding. See, they covered everything. While the headstone is coming down to unite with the body, but when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight to the skies. And he writes there on top, he writes, Revelation 11:3, 19:11-19, 7:2, and chapter 14. And he writes, the resurrection and the rapture. And he also writes on the left side, toward the top, the cornerstone. There he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and below he draws a Star of David. And he writes the mechanics. And he writes the dynamics and an arrow toward a cornerstone that he draws. The refilling. And also on 103, notice what he tells us there. From paragraph 894, it says, God is calling his elected people, and they are elected now. And now, they are elected for what? For a resurrection. And what kind of a sign is he showing them? Resurrection sign. That resurrection sign is very important, which the church bride is being taught in this end time, which he writes there, the resurrection and Moses and Elisha. Now, that is a very important sign, which will be transmitted. And notice that the elect of God are being taught by that sign of resurrection that will take place. Now, notice our brother William continues saying here, the great blessings of God will be there, God's power in all of its fullness, and that will be the visit or coming or presence of the Lord in all of his fullness to his spiritual temple, to the most holy place of his temple, to place himself in the midst of the two olive trees, in the midst of the two cherubims, one on each side, because it is between the two cherubims in the tabernacle of Moses and temple of Solomon, where that pillar of fire come down to. And from there he says, I will meet you. In other words, it is in the midst of the ministries of Moses and Elisha that God is speaking to his people, to his church bride, because those ministries have to be present, which was represented in those two cherubims of gold of the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, which were placed there. Those two cherubims of olive wood overlaid with gold were added, and that represents the ministries of Moses and Elisha. And from the midst of them is where that pillar of fire is. Therefore, that in the spiritual temple of Christ, which is his church in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom, by those two ministries being in the midst of his church, there, the pillar of fire, which was seen by the Reverend William Branham in that tenth vision, was speaking to someone above. Therefore, by those ministries being there, then the pillar of fire can dwell in the midst of his people in the most holy place, and can speak to them, bring the rapturing faith to his church. And notice on page 116, paragraph 1028, it says, that's the reason I do believe that when that bride is called out and elected and set in the book of life, there will come a sound from heaven that'll take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride. Thou'll take her from the earth in a rapturing grace. Thou take her from the earth in a rapturing grace. God promised it. And above he writes, where it says, baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride, the transformation. And above he writes, baptism of the Holy Spirit equals the fullness. There will come a sound from heaven. Notice, there will come a sound from heaven, thou take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride. And he writes, the transformation. That sound, notice, is the voice of the seven thunders speaking to his church. And around that word is that she will be transformed. For he is coming for his church, which his bride is about to be raptured. We have seen in this excerpts, the kingdom of God is at hand, which is the subject that we have for this occasion. Let us stand and thus leave on this subject, the kingdom of God is at hand, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.